G'day, Webby. How are you?
Good morning, boys. Yeah, I don't like apologies because it usually means there has to be a settlement that goes with it. I've actually never been successfully sued, so there you go.
If
I've got one wrong, sometimes you get things wrong. Sometimes you get told you get the wrong bit of mail, and I'm more than happy to put my hand up and say I've got it wrong. I've called plays and say, mate, I've stuffed that up. So,
yeah.
You know, you got to be big enough to admit that you're wrong. You can't be Fonzie in this game.
Are there any major, I don't know, apologies, you know, you're at the press conference of Webby that really sticks out of someone just, you know, spilling their guts and it was just uncomfortable that comes to mind?
No, not really. Not off the top of my head. Mm. In rugby league, they're not that good. As you would know, Laurie, they're not very good at saying sorry. they got something wrong. Players aren't particularly good at it either. So, let me get back to you. Let me try and think of one.
Yeah, no worries. Now, you wrote today about whether players would take a coronavirus vaccine if it came. if one does come out. Where's this all going to land as far as anti-vaccination is concerned in the NRL by some players?
Well, that issue was headed off by the commission yesterday, and there seems to be a little bit of misinformation, like a lot of this stuff that's been getting around in the last few weeks about the game and getting back for a restart on May 28th. The issue was never whether they had to have the vaccination or not. It was about the waiver that they had to sign if they were to come to training without getting the flu shot, as stipulated in those biosecurity plans. So as of yesterday morning, 97% of the players, support staff and coaches who are going to be in the clean area, as they're calling it, for when the competition restarts, had the flu shot. Of that 3% remaining, there was quite a lot who intended to have the flu shot but hadn't had it yet. And as the NRL have told me, there's 8 to 10 players who have refused to take it. Now, when it came to coming to training earlier in the week, they've run a big red line through a part of the waiver, made a song and dance about it publicly. Some of them took to Instagram to talk about the various reasons why they didn't want to take the flu shot, which I can completely understand. It's their body. If they don't want to put something into it, I understand if that's the case. And there was provisions in those protocols for them to sign a waiver. But by them just running a red line through some of it, it forced the commission to make a decision around the waiver, and they tinkered with that waiver. And so all those players are expected, according to the RLPA, to come back to training, the likes of the Cartwrights, the Parleys, and so forth. I just think the way that it has been handled by both the players and the Players Association has been appalling. I think they've hijacked the return to training of the game to make a point, whether it's for cultural reasons, religious reasons, or anti-vaccination reasons. And as I wrote today, you're right, it poses a fairly big question for the commission down the track. When a COVID-19 vaccination comes up, what are they going to do then? Are they going to let these players sign a waiver then, or will they make them take that vaccination? And I talked to Peter Volandis about it, and he acknowledges that's the bigger weighty question to come down the track, because a COVID-19 vaccination is a hell of a lot different to a flu vaccination.
Mm. Hey, Webby, do you know the government's position on where they stand? Now, we saw Prime Minister say no jab, no play, and I've also heard Peter Dutton speak about it should be compulsory. And part of the biosecurity measures put in place, I'm assuming that the league went and said that all players will have the needle, the flu injection, as part of the protocol of getting back and playing. Do you expect the government to maybe go to the NRL, or would the NRL sort of in consultation with the government ask the question and said, no. Well, is this okay?
No, I don't think so, Wallace, because as was explained to me yesterday, those protocols with the waiver in place were put to both state and federal governments there last week. So effectively the state and federal governments, this is as I understand it, as I said, some of the information getting around is so hard to pin down. I think I've said on this show before, you could ring 5 different people about the one story and get 5 different answers. And I'm talking about the people at the very top of the tree. So, but as it was explained to me, those protocols with the stipulation that the players who didn't want to take the flu shot with a good reason from their doctor or for whatever other reason, just had to sign that waiver, and that was put in front of the state and federal governments last week as part of the part of the game's biosecurity plan to get back to the game. So I understand what ScoMo said and what Dutton had said, but I think given the protocols that have been put forward already, they should be okay. And that, again, that's what I just think is wrong. So they had the opportunity to take the field without having to take the flu shot, and they still bucked up, and they still created a song and dance about it. And I think the Players Association are the ones who really need to answer some questions about it, because it looks like they have been railroaded by an anti-vax campaign, which is very aggressive, very strong on social media, as we've seen. And I just think it's not... The game's doing everything it can to get back, and it's the last thing that it needed from a tiny group of players in the first week back at training.
Webby, what have you made of this Albury / Melbourne Storm saga?
Oh, I think it was, you know, just shows the heightened tension around coronavirus. I actually worked in Albury Wodonga at the local paper, the Border Mail, there late in the 90s, many moons ago. And it is a staunch AFL region. Mm. They look at rugby league. They look down their nose at rugby league, like the AFL basically does in general. There's a very strong and passionate rugby league community there in Albury Wodonga. I just saw that as an extension. That the way that the council reacted to it as an extension of that. But problem solved. The Albury Tigers, one of the longest standing. AFL clubs in that region came to the rescue and allowed the Storm to train there. I actually think the Storm come right into premiership contention, if they weren't already, but because of what's going on. Because if anyone, I think coaching is going to determine, you know, coaching more than ever and discipline more than ever, given the events of this year and the fact that the clubs are going to be playing, teams are going to be playing in front of no crowds. I think the best coach wins. And I think that brings the Storm under Craig Bellamy and the culture at that club right into premiership, almost favouritism. There you go. How's that?
There you go. Big statement.
I'm known for them.
Headline. Like it. Headline.
You heard it here first, unless it doesn't happen.
I take zero responsibility for getting this wrong.
Exactly. Now, what are they in the market, Jerry?
Well, the markets are currently suspended until we get a fixture back. Okay. Webby, we need to get a fixture and then we'll get it all back open.
Well, I expect a flood of money for the Storm, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, look, they're never far out of the market, that's for sure. They'll be up in the top two or three. Does the media need to lay off Latrell Mitchell, Webby? This is something you've written about today as well.
I've written about it for the last 3 or 4 months. So I actually sat down with Latrell earlier this year in the lead up to the All-Stars game, and quite a few of the senior Indigenous players who actually went to Peter Volandis had a secret meeting with him at a hotel near the airport in January about the media coverage of Latrell to express their concerns. And then there was actually another meeting with the editors and executive producers and head of sports from the various broadcasters as well, for them to explain just how concerned they have been about Latrell. It was all around the right, how much was being written about his contract saga. Now, I've watched The Last Dance, like a lot of people, and I've actually been lucky enough last night to watch episodes 7 and 8. So I know where Adam Reynolds is coming from when he makes comparisons to Jordan, but it is a very, very long and tenuous bow, I have to say. What Jordan went through was extraordinary. The reason why he left the game was he'd won 3 championships. There'd been all this talk, including books written about his relationship with his teammates. And then his father was murdered.
Yeah.
And then there was a comparison between theory that his father had been murdered because of unpaid gambling debts that Michael owed. Then he went and came back, sucked it all up, still took all the media attention, and, you know, as we know, won another 3 championships. I think Latrell's problem is that he needs to start cutting some of this out and ignoring it, and so do the people around him. You know, not all media are out to get Latrell Mitchell. You know, what he went through what Jordan went through was completely different to what Latrell's gone through with, you know, one TV crew following back home the other day. I know it's not great, but not all media are doing that. They're not hounding him as much as plenty of other sports people ahead of him. I think of Joey. I think of some of the stuff written about Cameron Smith in the last few months. Surely, Pup, you of all people understand media scrutiny. I don't think Latrell Mitchell has come anywhere near the type of coverage that you got during your career as yet. So I think, and there's also needs to be a differentiation between between social media and mainstream media. If you don't like what's happening on Instagram, turn it off.
Yeah, 100%.
If you don't like what's being reported about you in clickbait media, like what happened earlier in the week about him being unfit at training, don't read it. And I think he's creating too much head noise for himself, and the people around him are doing the same thing. The interesting thing is how Bennett manages to harness that and control it and tries to turn him into, you know, a superstar for South Sydney when the competition starts again.
Now, Webby, Rugby Australia, another, well, ordinary week to say the least. And, well, David Gallop, could he end up the CEO of three of the major sporting codes in the country?
It'd be a strange trifecta, wouldn't it? I don't know if he... At the moment, no. As I've written today, he was approached to possibly take over as interim CEO after Raylan Castle left, and I think Gallup was interested in the idea, and he would have been good because he could have come in and tried to stitch up that TV deal that the game desperately needs. In the end there, the board went with Rob Clark. Whether that means there's no chance of Gallup taking it on long term, people close to him aren't entirely convinced that he's said he's going to run a red line through it. He's very close with the likely chairman, Hamish McLennan, who was the former Channel 10 boss. They could do worse than getting David Gallup in. You know, he's a very experienced administrator across two sports, and I think they need a heavy hitter like that, to be perfectly honest. I dipped my toe in the water of Rugby Union earlier this week when I learnt that Matt Carroll from the AOC was being touted as a possible chief executive under this director, Peter Wiggs, who was being lined up as chairman. And I said after 2 days, boys, I called my Rugby Union source and said, you know what, I'm going to go back to Rugby League because it's a little bit more sane.
Wow.
Rugby union makes the NRL look like the NFL in terms of professionalism, I have to say. That is one dysfunctional sport at the moment, which is quite sad, where you've got Peter Wiggs, who has been a director for 37 days, demanding, if I'm going to be chairman, I want this CEO and I want John O'Neill as a board member. And when the other board members go, oh, I don't know about that, he decides to resign. That's not that cool, I think.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess, to say the least. Webby, I don't know if you've come across... one of our listeners has just pointed this to us via the text on the Newcastle Herald today. Barry Toohey's done a podcast with Owen Craigie, and he reveals that, 6 months ago, he called Matty Johns as his life spiraled out of control and stopped him from committing suicide. It did. Do you know much about the Owen Craigie story in recent times?
All I know that it hasn't been great. That there has been, I know a lot of those former Knights players, including Matty and Andrew, and a lot of them who played alongside Owen Craigie, and there was a huge amount of concern for him there over a long period of time. So I'm not surprised at all that Matty has been counsel for him and tried to help him out. To me, it just shows you the rise and fall of professional footballers. How some players can handle success and others don't. I hope he's getting the help and support that he needs. If there's any club in an old boy structure that supports their former players very well, it's the Knights. So I'm glad to hear that he's reaching out to blokes like Matthew Johns, to be honest.
Yeah, if anyone wants to check that out, just go to the Newcastle Herald there. But just having a quick look at the blurb accompanying the podcast there, that is going to be a compelling listening, to say the least, Barry Toohey's chat with Owen Craigie. Webby, great to talk to you as always. Have a great weekend, mate. Oh, and also, I don't know if you've done the form, but are you keen on Cigalis the place in race 5 for the sake of our BSB multi tomorrow?
You know what? Now that you've mentioned it, I'll have to get on. There's no punter's logic, isn't it?
Yeah, well, would you? So, thanks for getting on, Webby, and have a great weekend, mate.
Yeah, good luck carrying me. Good on you. Bye-bye.